forgiveness in advance for all the future things I will destroy. Hardline from Little Oblivions, the third album by musician Julian Baker. The New York Times calls Little Oblivions, quote, magnificent. And the New Yorker describes the songs as unruly, complex, and gorgeous. Baker writes with great vulnerability about the more challenging experiences from the recent past, anxiety, questions about faith, and struggles with sobriety. The new release comes 4 years after her last solo album, Turn Out the Lights. In that time, Baker co-founded and released a record with the supergroup Boy Genius, featuring fellow 20-something singer-songwriters Lucy Dacus and Phoebe Bridgers. She also returned to college and finished her degree, but it was also a time of immense change, and we hear that on the new record. Julian Baker joins me now for an All of It listening party. Julian, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So the album starts and those first words we hear are blacked out on a weekday. Is there something I'm trying to avoid? Start asking for forgiveness in advance for all the future things I will destroy. Why was that the song and the way you wanted to start this album?
Wow. Well, it's interesting. You know, we had played around with the track list quite a bit, but, you know, I think that song is the most aggressive, and maybe it's aggressive in a reactionary way, but mm-hmm. It is the most, I guess, intense ones, at least I feel, you know, it's some of the most explicit lyrics on the record and some of the most adventurous sounds that I was comfortable putting on the record. But yeah, you know, I think it sets the listener up to receive the rest of the record in the mood it's supposed to, I guess, I was going to say the mood it's supposed to be received in, but there's no appropriate, I'm not here trying to tell you what mood you need to be in to receive this music.
But, you know, it gets your attention. It sort of announces something,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, completely.
So, you know, this is your third album. How did you want to approach it differently? You sat down, you think, okay, this is what I'm going to do now. This is what I'd like to do.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, Lord, it's funny because, you know, I feel that on my previous LP, I had all of a sudden found myself in a position where I was a thing I had dreamed of being for so long, which was a musician as my profession. And I obsessed so much about the concept of the body of work and trying to make everything flow so much that I think it became limiting. And with this record, it was much different. You know, I took space away from viewing myself as solely a performer and space away from being constantly reminded of the identity that was held up to represent me in the public sphere. And I just made the songs, you know, in handfuls over the course of a year, one at a time. And I think, you know, being removed from the constant experience of being seen, being observed, helped me to write in a less postured way. It, not to say that like any of the music that I was creating before was intentionally postured, but you know, when you are constantly being observed, I think the pressure to create something good ultimately discourages you from taking chances. And with this record, I felt like, you know, it was the opposite.
It's so funny you use the word posture because I thought about like when you know somebody's watching you, you sit up straight.
Yeah.
And then when you're on your own, you just kind of relax, maybe your arms in the back of the chair, or maybe you decided to lay down on the floor.
Exactly, yes.
My guest is Julian Baker. Her new album is called Little Oblivions. Let's listen to another song, Bloodshot. This is where the title of the album comes from, and it features the lyric that appears on the cover album, "There is no glory in love, only gore in our hearts." Why did you decide to pull that out and put it on the album cover in sort of a interesting sort of font?
Sure. Well, the font that is on the front of the record, as well as within the lyric booklet that comes with the LP, is those are all just scans from the spirals that I accumulated when I was writing this record. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in designing the cover, I think I had been looking at a handful of different lyrics and trying to find, you know, I hate having to reduce an entire body of work down to a single sentence, but this particular line stuck out to me because I remember it being one of the earlier things that I wrote, although it took, you know, years for the song to come to fruition. And honestly, this record is, you know, I'm a sensitive person. I feel like I write a lot about, mm-hmm. you know, these themes of love and redemption and compassion. But the reality about all those things, even though they are, you know, sometimes trite, sometimes greeting card-ish to discuss, is that they're actually, when you get down to what love truly entails, a relationship, a loving relationship between two human beings, a friendship, a partnership, it's quite ugly, and most of it is extremely painful. You know, I'm not saying that it by nature love has to be painful, but the practice of having love and having compassion for other people is more difficult and more fraught with obstacles than I think we imagine it to be. And this record is sort of an exploration into those, you know, those dark facets, I suppose, of what love actually demands of us when we are trying our best to be truly loving to one another, you know?
Let's take a listen to Bloodshot from Julian Baker's new album, Little Oblivions.
5 days out from the initial events, two kinds of fools to unclench my fist. It's too kind of you say.
Bloodshot from Julian Baker from her new album, Little Oblivions. We're having an All of It listening party for her new release. Can we talk about production for a little bit? So the sound is different for people who have your last two albums. This one is got a full band sound with percussion, and you played almost all the instruments yourself. First of all, why was the sound right for this album, and why did you decide to just do it all yourself?
Wow, you know, it's interesting, especially answering the question, why did I decide to do it all myself? And I find, you know, this record is not that much different in the production mentality from Turn Out the Lights, where I was, you know, making charts on butcher paper of like how lyrics flowed and making like color coded notes in my spiral. But I find myself, so obsessive about the creative process that I can be a little bit of a control freak. And I don't know, but maybe this was a necessary step. And the logical next step is that I can challenge myself to relegate parts to other players. But I also wanted to, especially with the drums and, you know, some of the synthesizer sounds, I wanted, as I stepped into this unfamiliar realm in production, not to gloss over or polish too much the sounds that I was, you know, unfamiliar with. I wanted the drums to sound undrummerly. I wanted there to be ugly and dissonant and challenging sounds on the record. Because before that, I think I had focused so much on making songs that were conventionally beautiful and using my voice and my guitar in a certain way, phrasing chords in a certain way so that they were very delicate and very sparse, but also very formally beautiful, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I, again, maybe it was a reactionary thing after having made music like that for so long, but with the production on this record, I found it so gratifying to and challenging as a musician to try to integrate a bit crushed guitar or an overdriven synthesizer, you know, because those are things that I hadn't allowed inside of my musical palette before. And of course, you know, I worked with my friend Calvin Lauber, an old friend from Memphis, who also worked on Turn Out the Lights with me. And I think that also, you know, made me feel more comfortable. You know, I had worked with this producer that I had known so long, and our collaborations always felt very natural and low stakes. You know, it felt like I could allow myself to make mistakes and pull them back in the editing process because it wasn't happening over a single week of tracking.
Yeah, you grew up around the Memphis area. Why did you decide to record there for this record?
Well, you know, I was going to say, I guess because I'm comfortable there. And usually that's a phrase, you know, when I say I'm comfortable with something, it makes me interrogate, you know, why beyond that.
Right.
I think a behavior is useful because oftentimes the things we're comfortable with, you know, can become limiting. But in this context, I don't know. I think that it felt like so much of a safer environment, given that I was making a, you know, for what to me felt like such a big departure from how I had written and recorded music before, it felt more natural instead of displacing myself to a random distant studio in New York or London or Los Angeles or something to work on it with the people that I knew in the city where I grew up. And, you know, it cultivated this attitude while we were making the record of why I made music in the first place, you know, because I grew up in Memphis wanting to just make songs that fulfilled me and that I thought were beautiful and that I used to understand myself and then to construct a dialogue with other people to feel better understood by them and like I better understood, you know, whoever's coming to the shows. And that is the energy that I always feel when I'm working with Calvin or working at Young Avenue Sound or working with Memphis, because ultimately music is a communal endeavor to me. So yeah, it just felt nice to be around my family.
My guest is Julian Baker. Her new album is called Little Oblivions. We're having a listening party for, you're talking about being around your people and your friends. We had your Boy Genius bandmate, Phoebe Bridgers, on the show last year, and she told us very emphatically that she thought her album Punisher was better than her debut because she wrote the songs as an adult. When you listen back and think back on your early writings, what do you hear, and do you hear yourself growing up?
I do. And it's funny. It's like a little bit of an oxymoron because the older I get, the less sure I am of my current knowledge because I've spent more years looking back at what I was so sure of in youth and finding out that I wasn't all that, I shouldn't have been all that sure of it. But
that's called getting mature.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like this record felt good to make just as a record, you know, of change. Because for two records in a row, you know, I put out Sprainkle and then I shortly thereafter put out Turn Out the Lights. And those records are both imbued with this sort of, I don't want to say childish, but youthful idealism. And I think at the time, that's what I really clung to for security in myself and in the world. And I think that in my desire to offer people something salient and meaningful through my music, and my obligation to try to do something positive with the gifts I had been given, I didn't make enough space for the reality of pain. I didn't make enough space for, I was so averse to cynicism and so vehemently, like such a vehement supporter of trying to be optimistic and showing like radical empathy all the time. And those things are great in theory, and in practice, it becomes a lot more difficult to act those things out. And this record is a whole lot catalog of how I failed in many ways. And it felt good to admit those things, I guess.
I want to play another track from the album Little Oblivions, the song Favor, your Boy Genius bandmates sing on this album. Why did this seem like the right song for them to make a contribution to?
Ooh. Well, this song is about friendship. And again, I hate to sound pessimistic, but, just like with what we were talking about with love, in regards to Bloodshot, this song is about how friendship is actually a very challenging thing to maintain and how it requires a lot of patience from us. And Phoebe and Lucy, more than being such wonderful, brilliant musical collaborators, have been dear, dear friends of mine for a very long time, who have modeled healthier ways of being and just been so compassionate with me. And I thought it only made sense, to have these two women that I respect and love so much sing on a song about friendship with me.
The name of the song is Favor. It's by Julian Baker. Let's take a listen. That is from Little Oblivions. Julian Baker is my guest. So, Julian, in doing a lot of the press for the release, people are really interested in it. It's such a good album. But you've been talking a lot. I don't know if you've had to talk because journalists are nosy or if you've wanted to, but you've been really, really candid about Christianity and faith and sobriety. Sometimes these are subjects that people really rather not talk about. As you've done press, was there something that you'd wish you'd been asked about any one of those things that you haven't been asked about?
That's such a considerate question. It's hard for me to even imagine, and I think, that was part of why I was so apprehensive about putting out this record, not even because of what feels like a quite dramatic sound shift or sonic shift, but because I knew that I was going to have to address the candor of the lyrics. And I don't know. It's not that there's something I wish I had been asked, but I find that maybe people are still looking for a binary answer to something that I don't believe exists in an ultimatum, right? Like, they're looking for an answer to, like, when during this record were you sober and when were you falling off the wagon? Or do you believe in God or do you not believe in God? Or do you consider yourself, you know, any of these things. And what's been so helpful for me and how I understand, you know, my cultural belonging within a faith tradition versus how I actually think of the divine has been to try to eliminate some of those certainties. And so what I end up telling people so much is that I haven't really learned anything. And I think most of the things that make me cringe about reading my interviews or listening to my music from Turn Out the Lights is that there's this hunger for certainty, and there's this sureness and this desire to have one clear-cut platform that, you know, whether as noble as it is to promote, you know, like all lovingness, that's still a single thing that you're sure about, that you're not sifting through in discourse. And with this record, it's like I want to make less assertions about what is true and what is real, and start just focusing on my own experience. And I don't know, it's kind of funny. I feel like I should be doing way more listening than I am, but you know, I have to talk about this record. So,
and to your point, life's not that tidy. It's not binary and either or, you know, it's messy.
Yeah,
it exactly. Is messy. The name of the album is Little Oblivions, is by Julian Baker. Julian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Of course. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for the thoughtful conversation and for having me on.
Let's go out on Song and E from Little Oblivions.
I wish you'd come on.